BA to all Mac mobiles. BA to all Mac mobiles.
We present Barry Ingham and June Barry in M6 Northbound, a play for radio by John Tarrant.
Where are you trying to get to?
Carnforth. It's just north of Lancaster on the M6.
It's a long way from Hendon. Well, I'm going as far as Manchester. Any good to you?
Oh, yes, please. That's well on the way.
Hop in, then. Shove your bag on the back seat.
Thank you very much. It was kind of you to stop.
Oh, not really. To be quite honest, I was thinking of my own comfort.
Oh?
Yeah. I didn't sleep too well last night, and I find motorways tend to make me drowsy. I was hoping, before I got onto this next stretch, that the bright, breezy passenger might help to keep me wide awake.
Well, I'll do my best. What a ghastly thought. Imagine a car careering along the fast lane with the driver fast asleep at the wheel.
Judging by some of the driving I've seen this morning, that isn't as unlikely as it sounds. Do you often hitch your lift up this way?
No, I usually go by train. But I'm just about broke.
Oh.
I've had to go home 3 times already this winter. Mother's been ill and my father just doesn't seem to be able to cope alone.
Sorry about that. You working in London?
Yes, I'm a student nurse at the Middlesex.
Sounds like trouble ahead. What does that sign say?
Single line traffic. I can see a lot of lights flashing somewhere over the hill.
Several cars involved.
At least 3. And a lorry over on the hard shoulder.
We'd better see what we can do to help.
I don't think they'll let you stop. No, that policeman's waving us on. They've probably got the casualties away already.
Shakes you up a bit, seeing that sort of thing.
Yes. I hope we don't meet any fog.
Well, if we do, I'm pulling straight off the motorway at the next intersection.
I'm glad to hear it.
You know, you're taking a bit of a risk in travelling this way. You might find yourself sitting beside one of those blokes who bash on at 70, regardless of weather conditions. Quite apart from the obvious dangers for a girl travelling alone.
Well, yes. You have to make a decision pretty quickly once the car begins to slow down for you. As a matter of fact, I started off this morning with the intention of waiting until I was offered a lift by someone with women or children aboard.
What changed your mind?
Well, I hope you won't be offended, but I was getting a bit desperate. The driver seemed to be sweeping past without even a glance in my direction.
Well, I think you probably chose the wrong bend.
You mean an awkward place to stop?
No. A quarter of a mile before your corner, a bunch of scruffy-looking hippies were waving their thumbs about. They were enough to make anyone put his foot down.
I see. I must remember to watch out for that sort of competition.
The risks in this game aren't altogether one-sided, or so I'm told.
Oh?
A friend of mine, he was touring in the Lake District last summer, and he slowed down when he saw 2 boys at the roadside, you know, waiting for a lift. And just before the car stopped, he noticed that one of them was swinging a bicycle chain round and round his hand. So at the last moment, he changed his mind and accelerated away.
I'm not surprised.
Ah, but as he passed the boys, he heard a clang on the top of his car. So he pulled up at a safe distance to see if there was any damage. And there was the bicycle chain wrapped round the roof rack, with a finger still caught in it.
Oh, how horrible.
These stories tend to make people a bit cautious.
Yes. Never thought about that sort of risk. Do you do a lot of travelling?
I drive up to London about once a month, except when they're forecasting snow or fog. Then I go by train. Ah, services. About time, too. Well, this is probably the best place for you to change chauffeurs.
Hmm?
No, it's my turning for Manchester. It's a few miles ahead.
Yes, I'd almost forgotten where we were. This is a lovely, comfortable car.
These 3 litres generally are.
You wouldn't like to drive straight on to Carnforth, I suppose?
Nothing I'd like better. A couple of days walking over the Cumberland Hills would suit me fine. If only I didn't have to earn a living.
If wishes were horses,
beggars would ride. Of course, if you really can't face the cold world outside, you could always come on with me to Salford.
Salford doesn't sound very romantic. Now, if you'd said Paris...
Well, we might discuss the matter further over a cup of café crème or whatever concoction they dish out in this place. Would you care to join me?
I'd love to. No. No, thank you. I must get on as fast as I can.
Ah, well. Back to earth with a hollow thump. Look, over there by the petrol pump should be your best bet for the next lift. But I should stick to your good resolution next time.
Good resolution?
Women or children in the car, preferably both.
Oh, yes. And I hope there aren't any skinheads waiting here with bicycle chains. Thank you very much for bringing me such a long way. It was very kind of you indeed.
Not a bit. I enjoyed your company. Hope you find everything all right at home. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
5 to 12. Now, where are the toasts? Paula, everything all right?
Derek, where are you speaking from?
Knutsford.
You're a bit early, aren't you? What time did you set off?
Well, usual time, but I drove straight through. I was wondering whether I'd be welcome if I turned up for lunch.
Well, now, that's a bit tricky. Yeah. I haven't got anything much in, and I fixed up my air appointment at 2:15.
Oh, not to worry. I'll have a bite in the restaurant here.
Are you sure? If you're fed up with eating out, I could always open a tin.
No, you stick to your own arrangements. It's just that, for once, I seem to have a couple of hours in hand.
What were you thinking of doing this afternoon?
Well, if the mist clears away, I'm not sure whether to go for a brisk walk up Blencathra or fly over to Paris for a moonlight trip on the Seine.
Paris? What on earth are you talking about?
Well, 3 or 4 hours on the motorway seems to do this to me. You get the same effect putting hens on a chalk line, I believe.
I think you better go straight into the office before you do something daft. You haven't been drinking, have you?
Not a drop.
Are you sure you're feeling all right?
Slightly lightheaded, as a matter of fact. See you about 6. Goodbye.
How do you feel now?
Oh, much better, thanks. Couldn't have been flu, Paul. All I needed was a day in bed.
Well, take it easy over the weekend and see how you feel on Monday.
I'm all right now. Never mind Monday. Where's the paper?
You're sitting on it.
Oh.
More coffee?
Thanks, yeah. Oh. I see that boy's recovered consciousness.
Which boy?
The driver injured in the accident I saw on Thursday.
Oh, I'm glad to hear it. I'm beginning to hate those motorways. I think you ought to go by train.
The times are a bit awkward. I've been wondering about flying from Ringway. Good heavens.
What is it?
Come and look at this.
Body of a girl. Woods near Appleton. Probably taken there by car. Police appealed to motorists who may have seen her.
I suppose it couldn't possibly be.
Who?
I gave a lift to a girl on Thursday. Perhaps there's a description. Oh, yes. Short blonde hair, dark blue trouser suit, tartan duffel bag. Appleton. How far away is Appleton? Let's have that road map.
Someone is Stockton Heath, I think.
Yes, there. Can't more than 10 miles from where I left her. What a terrible thing to happen.
You didn't tell me you gave anyone a lift, Derek.
Well, don't start making a mystery of it. I often collect a passenger on a long journey to have somebody to talk to.
Was she hitchhiking alone?
Yeah. I remember telling her she was taking a risk, but I was thinking more of wild driving than this.
What sort of a girl was she?
Well, she was a bright little thing, a student nurse from the Middlesex. I picked her up in Hendon and she chatted all the way up the M1 and M6 as far as Knutsford. She was so full of life. I can hardly believe she's dead.
You sure it's the same girl?
I can't be certain. I hope not. Lord, I hope not. But I'm afraid this description fits only too well. I mean, even the duffel bag.
You know what I think about giving lifts to women and girls travelling alone?
Yes, I know. I've heard you on that subject before, Paula, and I don't agree with you. If we can't give a helping hand to young people who are a bit short of money, or to anybody else in trouble on the road, we might as well just go straight back to the jungle where we came from. The next stage is to drive past an accident without stopping in case we get blood on our shoes until we finally graduate to hit and run.
Oh, all right, all right. Be a knight of the road if you must, but don't be surprised when your motives are misunderstood.
If some of the damned careful, respectable people who are so quick to misunderstand motives were a bit quicker in giving lifts to youngsters at the roadside, this girl wouldn't have been left to the mercy of this murderous animal who killed her.
I suppose you'll have to report this to the police?
Yes. And I'd better ring up straight away before somebody else does it for me.
What do you mean?
Because I brought the girl all the way up from Hendon on the day she died, and I've got a lot of explaining to do. Until they find the man who picked her up at Knutsford, I shall be suspect number one. Right, Mr. Mean. Now, before we ask you to sign this statement, is there anything you want to add to it?
No, I think that's all I can tell you, Inspector.
Well, let me just run over the main points once again. You make these journeys to London regularly once a month, always by the same route, unless the weather's really bad.
Yes.
And you've never seen the girl before Thursday on the motorways or anywhere else?
No, she told me she usually went home by train, but this time her mother was ill and she was broke.
She didn't ask you for money by any chance?
Good heavens, no. No, she only mentioned it because I asked her if she often travelled that way, hitchhiking by herself. It struck me as a dangerous ploy for a young girl.
It is. Do you often give a lift to women or girls travelling alone?
Well, I'm prepared to take the risk, if they are. Just to make sure I have somebody to talk to on a journey as long as that. There's something slightly hypnotic about those motorways.
And the other people thumbing a lift on the Hendon approaches to M1 looked a bit rough and tough, I think you said.
Yes, they certainly were.
After she left you at Knutsford, Mr. Neen, you didn't see her talking to anyone else or getting into another car?
No. I went straight into the building to the telephones while she ran off towards the exit lane.
Towards the exit lane? You're quite sure of that?
Well, in that general direction.
She didn't go into the ladies' lavatory, for instance?
Not as far as I know. I'm not sure exactly where it is in that place.
Well, this was the first halt since you picked her up in Hendon. She'd been sitting in that car for over 3 hours.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you expect her to go straight to the ladies' room?
Yeah, I suppose I would.
Mm. Did you or the girl have anything to eat or drink in the car during the journey?
No, not a bite or a sup.
Did she offer you any of her sandwiches?
No, I didn't know she had any. Oh, the duffel bag, I suppose.
Yeah. Did you invite her to have a meal with you?
I suggested a cup of coffee, but she refused. She was in a hurry to get on.
Mm. When you were having your coffee, did you at any time look out of the windows towards the pumps and the exit lanes?
Not that I recall. In fact, I didn't realize you could see them from those windows.
Well, according to your statement, you stayed there for about a quarter of an hour. Mm. When you drove off, did you see anybody waiting for a lift?
Two boys with rucksacks were just getting into a motor caravan, and there was no sign of my former passenger.
Well, now, can you remember anything about this vehicle or about the hitchhikers? Anything at all?
Oh, Lord. Well, the caravan was the usual rather unwieldy contraption. In two colours, I think. Yes, blue and white.
Mm-hmm. When you saw the boys getting in, could the girl have already been inside?
You know, I hadn't thought... No, that won't wash. The caravan moved ahead of me out of the car park and stopped beside the two youngsters when I was about 50 yards away. They were the only people waiting, I'm sure of that.
So you followed the van down to the exit lane. Did you see its registration number?
Oh, I'm sorry, I hardly ever look at them. Now, come to think of it, now there was another sign on the back. Something odd about it.
Another sign? Or sort of advertisement or political slogan?
No, an official sign, but different.
Oh,
somehow.
Do you mean a foreign distinguishing letter? F for France, D for Germany, that sort of thing?
Yes, that's right. Yes, it was like our GB sign, but with an extra letter. GBM. That was it, GBM.
Ah.
I remember wondering if it had come from Malta or one of the Channel Islands.
Now, that might be helpful. That could give us a lead. GBM are the distinguishing letters of the Isle of Man. Well, that just about covers the facts as we know them so far. Mazel, sir, I want you to get on to the Liverpool City Police. At this time of year, I think I'm right in saying, every car crossing to and from the Isle of Man must pass through Liverpool.
Yes, that's right, sir.
Well, the steam packet company will have a record of all vehicles transported, and a motor caravan should not be hard to trace.
Very good, sir.
As the driver was heading north on M6, he may well have been on the way home. In that case, your first check should be on all the vehicles carried by ships outward bound from Liverpool from Friday onwards.
I want to talk to the driver of that outfit and the people he picked up en route, and I don't want to waste any time.
Right. I'll get under it right away, sir.
Well, now, you, Bennett.
Sir.
The Knutsford service area. Show that photograph to the staff who were on duty last Thursday, every one of them, and pay particular attention to anyone whose job takes him or her close to the exit lanes. Petrol pump jockeys, car park attendants, breakdown crews, and security men. Remember, in spite of Mean's evidence, she may have gone in for a cup of tea, and she almost certainly used a lavatory.
Right.
Taggart, I want you to set up and arrange the manning of a control centre for this operation at Stockton Heath. It seems clear from a preliminary examination of the place where the girl was found that the killer had a fairly detailed knowledge of local geography. It's a secluded spot, and unless you know exactly what you're looking for, the way in's hard to find. I shall be concentrating my own inquiries in that area initially. Report to me to the control centre immediately you turn up anything that looks even faintly promising. Now, any questions?
No, I think I've got that down.
Right. On your way.
Will Mr. Roy Flanagan please come to the purser's office on the dead star? Mr. Roy Flanagan...
What on earth is that? My name is Farragher. That announcement over the loudspeaker.
Oh, yes. Come in, Mr. Farragher. Please sit down.
Thank you.
Detective Sergeant Mandrill, Chester County Police. Now, I understand that you're the owner of a blue and white motor caravan, registration number 211FMN.
Yes, that's right. I just left it on the car deck below.
Yeah, so I see. Now, were you driving this vehicle on M6 northbound last Thursday morning?
Thursday? Yes, I was. Yeah.
Did you pull into the service area at Knutsford on your way?
Yes, I stopped for a short rest.
Well, can you tell me, as accurately as possible, what time you drove away from there?
Oh, must have been between 11:45 and 12 o'clock. I only had a cup of coffee.
Hmm. Were you travelling alone, Mr. Farragher?
At that time, I was. I'd already dropped my friends off at Northampton earlier in the day.
And did you give anybody else a lift on your way north?
Yes. Yes, I picked up a couple of boys. At Knutsford, actually. They were thumbing a lift to the Lake District, so I took them as far north as I could.
When you drove out of the service area, did you see any sign of a girl waiting for a lift or getting into another car? She was dressed in a dark blue trouser suit, carrying a tartan duffel bag. Look, this is a photograph.
No, I've never seen this girl before. But in any case, there was nobody waiting at the exit lanes except my two passengers.
Are you quite sure of that?
Certain. The girl. Is this the one I read about in the papers? Didn't they find her body in a wood somewhere in Cheshire?
Yes, I'm afraid we did.
Oh, terrible. Terrible. If I can do anything to help your investigation, anything at all.
Thank you, Mr. Farragher. Our first job will be to trace the two boys you picked up at Knutsford. Hey, while they were waiting, they may well have seen the girl get into another car. Where did you set them down? Or do you happen to know what was their destination?
They got out when I turned off M6 for Ormskirk. It's quite a minor intersection, B5239. But they went straight across to the entry lanes to try for another lift to the north.
Did they tell you where they were going or anything about themselves?
Yes, a little. Oh, not names, I'm afraid. They were about 16. They came from Sutton Coldfield, and they were going to the lakes for a week's holiday, staying in youth hostels and walking over the fells. Yeah. They told me they'd booked beds for the first night in Sydney.
Madrill here, sir. I'm speaking from Keswick.
You found them?
I have. They're in the next room having a meal.
Did you get anything useful?
Yes. I think I might squeeze a bit more out of them, or at least from one of them, if I take them through their evidence again slowly when they've finished eating. But I thought you might like a preliminary report.
Yes. Go on, man. Go on.
Well, I'll leave all the background for the time being. Now then, a lorry driver brought them into Knutsford service area somewhere about midday. Incidentally, they're both quite hopeless about time. I can't get any nearer than that. As they walked across from the heavy vehicle park towards the exit lanes, they saw a girl waiting for a lift.
Ah.
Well, the boys were too far away for positive identification, but she was wearing trousers and carrying some sort of big bag from a shoulder strap.
Yes, yes.
But while they were still about 50 yards away, a car pulled out from the left-hand set of pumps and stopped beside her. She had a few words with the driver, got in, and they drove away.
The left-hand set of pumps? Well, that might possibly give us a lead. Go on.
Well, they're not too sure about the car. One of them, he's quite an observant lad, described it as a fairly big saloon, certainly not a sports car nor a Mini. And he has an idea that it was blue.
Anything else?
Well, at the moment, nothing important. Of course, I've got all the background, names, addresses, details of their movements before and after Knutsford and so on. But, as I said earlier, I might get a bit more if I take my time. Well, just to make sure that I ask the right questions, can I take it that everything we've got so far tends to corroborate the evidence of Derek Neen?
Well, up to a point it does, so far, but no further. But there is one factor you ought to know about.
Oh, what's that?
I don't think you ever saw it, but just for the record, Derek Neen's car is a 3-litre saloon, and the colour, light blue.
Hello?
Oh, Mr. Neen, it's County Police Headquarters.
Oh, yes?
It's Chief Inspector Sayle speaking.
Oh, yes, Mr. Sayle. Paula, turn it down a bit.
Oh, very well.
Hello?
Yes?
Oh, I wonder if you could give me some further assistance in this investigation if I call round in, say, 10 minutes or a quarter of an hour.
Yes. Yes, of course. I'd like to help in any way I can.
Of course. Would you be prepared to accompany me to Appleton this morning? It might be convenient if we could use your car.
If you think it necessary. Yeah, I'm entirely at your disposal.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Neen. About 15 minutes, then.
Goodbye.
The police again?
Yes. Sale's on his way around here now.
What does he want this time?
I don't know. Well, he's probably been going through the statement I made on Saturday with a fine-tooth comb, checking it against all the other information as it comes in.
I hope there is some other information. Surely somebody must have seen her getting a lift in a crowded service centre like that.
Well, they're strange places, those service areas. Rather like a mainline railway station lifted out of a big city and slapped down in the middle of nowhere. The staff are too busy, too impersonal to take any interest in the cars and people passing through. We're all just units of transportation to be issued quickly and efficiently with food or oil or petrol. While the conveyor boat's running, nobody bothers to look at the faces as they pass.
What a ghastly picture of the shape of things to come. You know, I can't understand why the girl didn't wait for a car with women or children inside it. Didn't you say that was her plan when she first set off?
Yes. I can still see that cheerful smile.
Derek, is there anything about this business you haven't told me?
Huh?
I mean, the girl was just standing by the roadside, someone you'd never seen before, wasn't she? You didn't know her already, or arranged to meet
her. Good heavens, no! Now, what put that crazy idea into your head?
I'm sorry. It's just that this whole nightmare business is going round and round in my mind. The police seem to be so insistent, ringing up and coming to the house with more and more questions, going over the same ground again and again, almost as if...
As if they suspected me?
Yes. And I must say, it seems quite obvious why they're still badgering you. After years of keeping to the same route and the same timetable, you suddenly come belting north at nearly twice your normal speed and turn up here several hours early. Then you ring up and waffle about the most extraordinary things as if you'd been drinking.
But waffled?
Well, babbled. You babbled about Paris, among other things. And when you finally wandered in at 6 o'clock, absolutely exhausted, you spent the next day in bed. What on earth do you expect people to think?
There was a young man who said, "Damn, I now perceive that I am just a being that moves in predestinate groove. Not a bus, but a tram."
Derek, for heaven's sake, talk sense. Where did you get to on Thursday afternoon? And don't tell me you went straight into the office, because I know you did nothing of the kind.
How do you know that?
Because I telephoned your precious Mrs. Cullen.
Oh.
If you must know, I felt a bit mean about putting you off for lunch. I was going to suggest meeting in town for a meal and possibly a show.
What time was this?
When I'd had my hair done, about 3:30. Do you mean she didn't tell you I ran up?
She didn't tell me because I haven't spoken to her since.
You mean you didn't go into the office at all on Thursday?
Right. Top of the class.
Then where did you go?
Hat, coat and car keys. This will be my other inquisitor, Chief Inspector Sale.
You know this part of the world, Mr. Neen?
Oh, fairly well.
Just the main roads or the country districts too?
Oh, I know practically all the villages and many of the farms in North Cheshire.
Before I became area manager, I used to get round most of them at least once a year.
What was your line?
At that time, it was mainly agricultural machinery and equipment. We sold that side of the business about 3 years ago.
Do you know this place we're coming to?
I remember the name, but I don't seem to recognize this road.
Turn left here, please. Have you ever been up this lane before?
I don't think so. But if there's a farmhouse at the end of it...
No. It leads to what the locals call the Mount. It's an old earthwork dating from pre-Roman times. You can see it ahead there, half hidden by that grove of trees.
Is that where she was found?
Yes. Two little girls coming along the footpath on the way home from the village. Nearly fell over the body.
How horrible.
Why are you taking the right fork, Mr. Neat?
Well, the other way seems to lead into a field. Have I gone wrong?
No. This is the way we want to go. Before we get too far from the main road, are you all right for petrol?
Oh, should be, I think. Oh, yes, over half.
When did you fill up last?
On the way north from London, I believe.
Knutsford service area?
Yes, as a matter of fact, it was.
Which brand do you use?
Oh, I really can't remember. I reckon there's very little to choose between them. As long as it's 99 octane, I just go to the most convenient.
So you're not sure which pump you went to?
Well, is it important?
Well, it might be. Did you fill up before or after you followed the caravan from the car park?
After. As I drove into the pumps, the caravan went straight on towards the motorway with a brief stop to let the boys in.
You're sure that was the order of march? Caravan first, you second, not the other way about.
Yes, quite sure, Inspector.
I haven't asked you this before. Did you pick up any passengers on your way out of the service area?
No. I've already told you, I was leaving the motorway a mile further along.
Turning right onto A556 for Bodnam Manchester.
Yes.
You park in that clearing on the right. That's better. So, Mr. Neen, you drove on alone, turning right at the A556 intersection.
Yes.
And then, well, I,
What on earth was that?
12 bore by the sound of it. Taggart, get hold of that sportsman and bring him to me. Oh, here he is, coming this way. Spells, look at this. I didn't think this still existed.
You and your confounded stinking motor cars. You'll scare all the game in Paris. Why don't you leave the damn things on the high road and use the legs God give you?
Oh, policeman, are you?
Have you got permission to shoot over this land?
Of course I've got permission. Do I look like a poacher? This estate belongs to Sir Henry Stockton of Allegan House.
Are you his bailiff?
Gamekeeper. 40 years I worked on this land till the arthritis got better of me. Now, I do what I can to keep down the vermin, but I can't get about like I used to.
Well, you look remarkably fit to me. When were you last round this part of the estate?
4 or 5 days ago. Thursday it'd be. Aye, Thursday. I have to keep my eye on place, you know. What with crows and magpies and pigeons. There's more than enough work for one man in these woods alone.
Are you sure you've got the right day?
Of course I'm sure. I'm not senile yet, be a long chalk. I know what day of week it is. Aye.
Well, when you were here on Thursday, did you see anybody else in or near these woods?
After it game, you mean? Boys with a dog, or maybe a gun or a ferret?
No. Anybody at all?
Well, there was a coaching couple. At least I suppose that's what they were up to. They didn't get out of the car. There's more girls lost
now,
than...
Now, you saw a car in this clearing last Thursday with a man and a woman inside.
That's what I said. Parked over yonder under that sycamore.
What time of day was this?
Midday, early afternoon. But I've seen them at it first thing in the morning. Think of no else these days, some of them. Morning, noon and night.
Can you describe either of the people in the car?
No, I didn't get a proper look at them. I was right across there, bit stream. I could just make out that there were two heads inside.
Can you tell me anything about the car itself?
Big saloon it was. About same colour as that one over there.
Oh. Do you think that was the car you saw here on Thursday?
Could have been. Wouldn't like to say for sure. It was all of 200 yards away when I went across bridge there. And when I come back about 20 minutes later, they were just driving away.
And there were still two people in the car?
Couldn't say for certain. I remember driver was revving away in low gear and the whole clearing was stinging with diesel fumes from his exhaust.
I don't you mean petrol fumes?
Diesel, I said, and diesel I meant.
Are you sure you can tell the difference? There aren't a great many private cars with diesel engines about these days.
Look, mister, I was working on land when they brought the first of them stinking noisy tractors out into the fields. I've smelt them all. Horses, steam engines, petrol motors, petrol, paraffin and diesel. And my nose ain't crippled by no snuff nor tobacco neither.
Turned out to be an old gamekeeper who actually saw a car in there on Thursday afternoon. But a horrible moment, I thought he was going to identify mine.
Is that why they asked you to take your own car?
I suppose so. Better was with a chance of somebody recognising it. And I think Sale was trying to find out whether I knew the way. But the gamekeeper brought a completely new slant to the investigation by swearing that the car he saw was powered by a diesel engine.
How on earth could he know that? Did he look inside the bonnet?
No. The exhaust gases produce an entirely different pong.
They all smell foul to me. Does this mean they'll stop badgering you, Derek?
They might, if they believe his story, but there's much more to it than that. One for you as well.
Please.
It seems there are two types of diesel fuel. Under the name DERV, it's used by road vehicles and carries a heavy excise duty. Under another name, gas oil, the same stuff, coloured by the addition of a chemical dye, is sold for use in farm tractors, marine engines and so on. Here you are.
Thank you.
You can buy gas oil for half the price of DERV, but if you're caught using it in a road vehicle, you face a swinging fine. Cheers.
Cheers. Yeah, but I don't see...
So, records are kept of all private cars with diesel engines in each rural licensing area. Apart from specialist vehicles... You know, Land Rovers, taxis and so on. There are very few privately run diesel cars about these days.
So they might be able to trace the car that carried the girl into the woods?
Well, the car the gamekeeper saw. He couldn't identify the people inside, though Sale seemed to think the time was about right.
There's a bit more about her in today's paper. It says her name is Tessa Cowell. She was a student nurse at a London hospital and her parents live in Carnforth.
Yes.
I suppose she told you all that.
She didn't tell me her name.
Do you think that in Chief Inspector Sale might leave us in peace from now?
I don't know. I think this is the first real lead they've got. The police and the customs men will be searching for the driver of that vehicle like terriers hunting a rat.
Marshal Gelling?
That's right.
Let me see. You're on your way back to the pumps now. Your last shift was Thursday, 4 a.m. to noon.
That's right.
And you weren't here when Sergeant Bennett was making his inquiries.
No. Well, I should have been on again Saturday and Sunday, see, but I was poorly. Had a touch of flu.
Well, that might make it a bit easier for us.
Eh?
The car we're looking for must have been among the last few that passed through the filling station before you went off duty.
Yeah? Well, we get a lot of cars through here, you know.
This one was rather unusual. Sometime between 11:45 and 12 last Thursday, just before you went off duty, a blue saloon stopped at your set of pumps, probably to fill up with DERV.
DERV? A private car, you mean? Not a van or a taxi?
According to my information, just an ordinary family car. I'm told that two or three manufacturers are still turning them out in small numbers.
Maybe they are, but I didn't see anything like that here last Thursday.
You're quite sure?
Yeah. Don't get a diesel engine private car through here once in a month. I always have a damn good look in case some clot stopped at a wrong pump.
Suppose the driver wanted only lubricating oil or water or a tyre check?
Well, that could be different. The bonnet was lifted to top up the sump of the radiator. I noticed compression ignition right away. But if it was just a matter of checking tyre pressures, I wouldn't hardly look higher than the wheel.
Well, do you remember anybody asking you to check the tyres shortly before you handed over? What is it, Medrol?
Can you spare a minute, sir?
Won't it wait?
I don't think it will.
Oh, all right. Hang on here, Mr. Gelling. Won't keep you very long.
Not to worry on my account, I'm sure.
I've just been having another look around the slip room in the service area. There's an old car that might fit this description parked along there right now.
Where?
Just behind those vans in the staff car park.
Staff park? Have you discovered who owns it?
Well, not for certain. The security bloke thinks it belongs to one of the pump jockeys, a man named Mick Gelling.
Hells bells, I've just been talking to him. He's been off sick and...
He's making a break for it.
Stop that man. Hicks, block the engine lane.
a service road. Quick, man. Where did the slip road come out?
On the A556, but it winds all over the place first.
Driving like a lunatic. Do you think you can catch him?
Oh, certain. These dieselmen nervous are built for economy, not for speed.
In that case, don't drive him into doing anything desperate. Just keep the car in sight until I can lay on a cordon. What's your call sign?
Mike 3.
Mike 3, to VA. Mike 3, to VA. Hold up.
Go ahead, Mike 3.
Chief Inspector Sales speaking. A Blumenerva Saloon, registration number
932PMN.
932PMN, moving west along the services slip road from the M6 northbound section of Lookford service area. All available patrols intercept and detain, and inform Lancs County. I say again, Blumenerva Saloon number 932PMN, moving west towards A556. Intercept and detain. Over.
If he meets another car in a blind corner at that speed, he's a dead duck.
Hey, there's a lorry coming over the brow of the hill. I've got a glimpse of the roof through the trees.
I don't think they can see each other.
Slow up, man. He's not even trying. We must get him out of there. Quick, there's oil everywhere.
Put those cigarettes out.
Right, now, easy. Easy does it.
I won't take up very much of your time, Mr. Neen, but Chief Inspector Sale asked me to call on my way home to thank you for your help and cooperation.
To thank me?
He thought you'd like to know that a man has been detained and will shortly be charged with the murder of Tessa Cowell.
The driver of the diesel engine car, you've found him already?
Yes.
You sure you got the right man?
Well, I think I can safely say that the evidence is conclusive. As a matter of fact, he's made a statement that amounts to a confession, though no doubt the defence lawyers will do their best to have it ruled inadmissible.
Did he turn out to be a local man?
Yes. I'm afraid I can't tell you much more than that at the moment. The case is sub judice, you understand?
Of course. There's just one thing that's been puzzling me about this tragic business. I don't know if you'll ever find the answer now, but I can't understand how he persuaded a girl like that to sit in the car while he drove so far away from the direct route to the north.
Yes. Well, speaking of the record...
Well, we'll go no further, I assure you.
Well, I think you're entitled to ask a few questions in return. It seems that shortly after they left Knutsford, they ran into one or two thick patches of fog. The girl was scared stiff of a multiple pile-up and raised no objection when he turned onto the A road. After a couple of miles, he told her he had to collect his married sister from the family farm to take her home to Preston.
And then?
And when she saw there were no farm buildings in that clearing, she tried to get out, but the passenger's inside door handle had been removed.
Deliberately?
Oh, yes. He's played this game several times before, without finding it necessary to resort to violence. Or so he says. According to his version, the killing was an accident. He was trying to stop her from screaming when she found she was trapped.
Do you accept that?
Well, he's not really a violent type, but he does get in a panic very easily. Whether the jury will believe him if he comes to trial...
If?
I'm not sure that he'll ever be fit to stand in the dock. He turned his car over trying to get away. Severe injuries to the spine and pelvis.
I see.
Well, I mustn't keep you any longer, Mr. Neen. We seem to have taken up rather a lot of your time already.
Oh, well, that's quite all right.
But, you know... Before we got a clear lead in another direction, we were beginning to take an interest in your movements that day from the time you telephoned your wife. Nobody seems to have set eyes on you between 12 o'clock and 5:30. You might have been the invisible man.
Oh, that's very odd.
Ah, but of course this is all water under the bridge. But it does show how difficult it can be to establish a clear alibi at a time when you might badly need one.
Yes, that could have been very awkward for me, I suppose.
Well, thank you again for your cooperation. It was very much appreciated. Good night, Mr. Neen.
Good night, Sergeant. Well, I'm damned.
Hello?
Martine,
Detective Sergeant Madrill has just called to thank me for helping his inquiries. The man's been arrested for the murder of Tessa Carroll.
Are you completely in the clear?
I think so. The police have been trying to check up on my movements last Thursday afternoon. I gather without success.
I see. Well, they might have stumbled over something.
It's just possible, I suppose.
All right. We play it safe. Go up to London next month, as usual, and follow your normal routine with two exceptions. Don't pass on your latest orders, and don't arrange delivery. Keep well away from the warehouse on Thursday afternoon.
How about the customers?
Leave them to me. I collect your order book and make other arrangements. A brief interruption in supply won't do us any harm. It might even help you to put up a test.
Well, Madrill, and what do you think of that?
Very interesting.
What time did this come through? 21:35, a few minutes after you left the house. It only reached me this morning.
Could I hear the last bit again, the orders?
Certainly.
Go up to London next month, as usual, and follow your normal routine with two exceptions. Don't pass on your latest orders, and don't arrange delivery. Keep well away from the warehouse on Thursday afternoon.
How about the customers?
Leave them to me. I collect your own.
When did you tap his telephone line?
Oh, we didn't. The monitor's at the other end, on the girl's telephone, at the request of Special Branch. And as soon as they trace this call, they get on to us.
Why are the Special Branch interested in this woman, Martine?
Well, they're holding the cards pretty close to their chests. But I understand they started by investigating a case of industrial espionage in one of the nationalised industries, and they fell over this.
What is this? Cannabis?
Oh, hardly. Well, my first guess was drugs of some kind. No, means business takes him into the world of heavy engineering, metal traders, steel merchants and the like.
That's right.
Seems that in most of the Western world, there's a chronic shortage of chrome. It's used in the production of special steel.
There was something about that in the paper this morning. Isn't there a row going on because the Americans have started to buy Rhodesian chrome to avoid becoming dependent on Russia?
Exactly. The Yanks have trimmed their sails to the wind, but not the stubborn British. It's still on our embargo list. And the customs boys had a tip that some of the shipments officially consigned to the United States were slipping into this country through the port of Manchester. The area manager of the firm they had that eye on is, you know who.
Sanction breaking. Illegal imports from Rhodesia.
I think that's probably why Mr. Neen is flourishing like a green bay tree, while a lot of his friends are struggling for survival.
Well, do we follow it up?
Oh, much as you would enjoy the program arranged for Neen's next visit to London, I think we'll have to leave this one to the customs and excise.
What a pity.
You've been listening to M6 Northbound by John Tarrant. The part of Derek Neen was played by Barry Ingham, Tessa Cowell, Carol Turner, Paula Neen, June Barry, Chief Inspector Sale, John Blaine, Detective Sergeant Madrill, Graham Roberts, Roy Farragher, Joe Holmes, John Tier, the Gamekeeper, by Joe Gladwin, and Michael Gelling, John Baldwin. The motorway sequences were recorded by David Fleming Williams with the cooperation of the Cheshire Constabulary.